God has been leading and guiding. We have forgotten that everything we've been through, whether you liked it or didn't like it, God knew it before you were even born. So you didn't shock him once yet. He still has never been shocked by you or me. Doesn't matter what you think right now, what you say, he already knew. God knows everything. You can't shock him. You can't surprise him. He is not going, oh, Bob, man, oh, whoa, I don't know if we paid for that one.
Welcome to Apply Within, a verse-by-verse study of the Word of God with Pastor Bob Davis of North Country Chapel. We invite you to join with us as we, by the power of God's Holy Spirit, apply His Word within our own hearts as we study line upon line, precept upon precept, verse-by-verse through the Bible. Join with us as we study through the Old Testament book of Genesis. Here's Pastor Bob.
So with chapter 47 beginning, we read, "Then Joseph came and told Pharaoh, and he said, 'My father and my brothers and their flocks and their herds,'" in other words, the whole family, "all that they have come out of the land of Canaan, and behold, they are in the land of Goshen. And he took some of his brothers, five of them, and he took five of his brothers and presented them," or introduced them, "to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said to his brothers," which he already warned them. He already gave them the answer they need to give. "What is your occupation?" And they said to Pharaoh, "Your servants are shepherds, both we and also our fathers before us." And they said furthermore unto Pharaoh, "For to sojourn in the land have we come. For thy servants have no pasture for their flocks, for the famine is sore, very terrible, in the land of Canaan. Now therefore, we pray thee, let thy servants dwell in the land of Goshen." We're asking your permission. Joseph has already set them up over there. But Pharaoh's in charge, and it's very respectful to ask, right? And that's what they're doing. "And Pharaoh spoke to Joseph, saying, 'Your father and your brethren are come to you.'" Pharaoh is happy for Joseph, because Pharaoh knows that without God, even though he's not a believer, without God and without Joseph, there would be no Egypt. And he knows it. So Pharaoh said to Joseph this, "Your father and your brother, they've come to you." That is, in other words, that is so cool. "The land of Egypt is before you, the entire land of Egypt. In the best of the land, make your father and your brethren to live. In the land of Goshen, let them dwell. And if you know any men of activity among them, then make them rulers over my cattle." Now that's just, this is a kind Pharaoh. Another ugly, bad one is coming. But this one is grateful, though he doesn't understand all about God. He is just grateful to Joseph, who has saved an entire nation. It was God, and Joseph gives all credit to God. But Pharaoh, this one's not a fool like a lot of the others. He doesn't know about the one true God, but he does know that the God of Jacob is a pretty powerful God and has saved the entire nation. And just as they rehearsed, when Pharaoh asked them, "What is your occupation?" they answered, "We're shepherds." Now, of course, don't forget, the Egyptians didn't want shepherds near them. Pharaoh said, "Wow, that's perfect. The land of Goshen is excellent for you guys. It's far away from us, and it's plenty good for cattle and for sheep and whatever you got. This is perfect. Joseph, nice choice." And then he added this, "In fact," see, he was impressed with the five. Probably good he didn't bring all 11. He was really impressed with the five. And so he adds, "In fact, if you have a few who can take care of the cattle, I will put them in charge of my cattle, the royal herd." They would actually oversee Pharaoh's property. He would trust them with his herds. And you can believe they were big. So not only are they living for free, they didn't ask for a job. They didn't ask, but sure, we'll take those on and we'll raise them and they'll be good and healthy and strong. And they're going to get paid for that. Is God good or what? The answer is, yes, he is. He's not only given you eternal life, he's given you his Holy Spirit. You lack nothing. None of us lack anything. We just pretend like we do. We're lacking nothing. We don't ever have to be afraid. We don't ever have to worry or fret at all. We don't ever worry about what's coming down the pike, whatever the pike is. We don't have to worry about that because God said, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I am right with you. It doesn't matter what's coming. Whatever's coming, God knows, and he's already planned for it because he set it up. So whatever's coming, okay, Lord, let's go. Let's just walk day by day. Jacob and all of his children are so taken care of. God has provided for everything, plus some money, and they don't need money. They're pretty wealthy themselves. They have lots of sheep and cattle and donkeys, etc., and so forth. They're fine over there. They're going to grow whatever they need. Look at verse 7. And then, after the boys head on out, Joseph brought in Jacob, his father. Israel is his name. And he set him before Pharaoh. And Jacob blessed Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said to Jacob, how old are you? You could do that if you're the king, right? Pharaoh said, how old are you? And Jacob said to Pharaoh, the days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Few and evil have the days of the years of my life been, and have not attained unto the days of the years of the life of my fathers in the day of their pilgrimage. And Jacob blessed Pharaoh again, and he went out from before Pharaoh. And then we read, Joseph placed his father and his brethren and gave them a possession in the land of Egypt, in the best of the land of Ramesses, as Pharaoh had commanded. And Joseph nourished his father and his brother. Joseph took care of his whole family and their families and their families. He just took responsibility to oversee the house of Israel. Joseph nourished father and brother and all his father's household with bread according to their families. Jacob blessed Pharaoh twice, when he came in and when he walked out. He blessed Pharaoh. And when it says he blessed Pharaoh, Jacob belongs to the Lord God Almighty, just like Joseph does and his brothers, etc. So Jacob would have blessed Pharaoh in the name of his God, the Lord God Almighty, the one true God, the one and only God. Jacob blessed Pharaoh. Now think about that for a second. Here's a farmer kind of guy, not considered anything anywhere. Plus, the sheep herders, the Egyptians really don't want them to be too close. So you kind of don't see Jacob high up on the important ladder. But think about it. The things that we've been taught in the Word of God. Who blesses who? Pharaoh's in charge. He's the king of Egypt. Right now, he's helping, saving the whole world. It was God's idea through Joseph. But Pharaoh is the king. And so everybody's coming to Egypt to get help. Everybody. So think about it, Christian. Who blesses who? Pharaoh invited him in. Joseph brought him in. And the first thing Jacob did, the greater always blesses the lesser. And Jacob blessed Pharaoh. Not thinking he's greater, just saying a blessing in the name of God Almighty, the one true God of all creation. Think about that. A nobody blessing the king of Egypt in the name of the Lord. Do you really belong to God? Do you really? If you truly belong to God, and this isn't really like some kind of game, then you have the authority in the name of Jesus Christ to say, God bless you. I hear Christians say that to one another, and that's a good thing to do. Well, the Lord bless you. I'm praying for you. God bless you. Have a good day. You have that authority in and through Jesus Christ alone, not suggesting that we're greater than others, just understanding the authority of God. There is no authority higher than the authority of God. And you have the Lord God in your heart by grace through faith alone. All of us that are true believers. Joseph got his family settled down there in the land of Goshen. They had the best land that Egypt had to offer, that is the Lord. God gave that to them, the best of all the land. God gave it to him. And Pharaoh happily said, it's yours, take it. That's the Lord. That's God's grace. It's his kindness. It's his mercy. It's his blessings. And so let's admit that it's a blessing to be blessed. You know, that sounds weird, but it is. And so just thank the Lord. Don't whine so much. Be thankful for what you have. You could have better stuff, I'm sure, or bigger stuff. But you know, well, what about just relaxing? And so then, thank you, God. And just start thanking him. Just be grateful for just a few moments. Everything lightens up when you do. Okay, how about verse 13? And there was no bread in the land. Remember, there's a famine going on. For the famine was very sore, very terrible. So that the land of Egypt and all of the land of Canaan fainted by reason of the famine. And Joseph gathered up all the money that was found in the land of Egypt, all the money, and in the land of Canaan for the corn which they bought. And Joseph brought the money into Pharaoh's house. You know, he took it into the bank, Pharaoh's bank. And when money failed, when Egypt was out of, all the people were out of money, no money, nobody had any money now. Think about that. Watch what's coming. When the money failed in the land of Egypt and the land of Canaan, all the Egyptians came to Joseph and said, we still need to buy bread. We still need to buy food. For why should we die in thy presence? There's no money. We have no money, but we have to come and get food. Because remember, Joseph was given those the interpretation of the dreams to prepare for the trouble that was coming. The seven good years of plenty, then the seven terrible, terrible years. They're in the seven terrible, terrible. But they've got food and the world's coming to them for help. And they say, we're going to starve. We need to get food, but we can't buy it anymore. What do we do? And Joseph said, give your cattle and I'll give you food and you can just trade. In other words, let's just begin to barter, to trade. If you're out of money, bring a horse or a sheep or a cattle. Bring something and I'll trade you. And they brought their cattle, verse 17, to Joseph. And Joseph gave them food in exchange for horses and for flocks and for cattle and for herds and for the donkeys. And he fed them with bread for all the cattle for that year. So a good year. When the year was ended, verse 18, they came to him in the second year and they said to him, we'll not hide this from my Lord. How our money is gone, my Lord. Also, our herds, and now we're out of animals. We got nothing to barter. But if we don't eat, we'll starve. Our families are going to starve. We'll die. And there's nothing left in the sight of my Lord, but our bodies and our land. Wherefore shall we die before your eyes, both we and our land? Buy us and our land for bread, and we and our land will be servants unto Pharaoh. And give us seed that we may live and not die, that the land be not desolate. And Joseph bought all the land of Egypt for Pharaoh. Every time they came in, they would give a little piece of their property just to trade. Their animals are gone. Their money's gone. They still need to eat. And so he'd say, okay, we'll trade you a whole bunch of food and things for just a little piece of land. Every time you come in through the year, if you have nothing else, we'll just trade your land. I'm not going to let you starve. We'll do anything we can do. Get the point. People say that Joseph's a jerk, but you're missing the point, everyone. Joseph bought all the land of Egypt for Pharaoh, for the Egyptians sold every man his field because the famine prevailed over them, so the land became Pharaoh's. And as for the people, verse 21, he removed them to the cities from one end of the borders of Egypt, even to the other end. You see, that's smart. They're getting weaker. They don't have much. They're having to travel too far. It's dangerous. So he moves everybody into five or six of the main cities around the land so they don't have to travel far for food with the little ones and all that. It's safer and better. And verse 22, only the land of the priests he didn't buy. For the priests had a portion assigned to them by Pharaoh, and he did eat their portion with Pharaoh that Pharaoh gave them when they sold not their lands. And Joseph said to the people, behold, I have bought you this day and your land for Pharaoh. Look, here is your seed for you. Here is seed for you, and you shall sow the land. You plant it and grow. You can take the water from the Nile, wherever you can get your water. And it shall come to pass in the increase, you shall give a fifth part unto Pharaoh, and you keep four parts. That shall be yours for the seed of the field and for your food and for the those of your household and for food for your children, the little ones. And they said, you have saved our lives. Let us find grace in your sight, my Lord, and we will be Pharaoh's servants. And Joseph made it a law over the land of Egypt unto this day. Pharaoh should have the fifth part except the land of the priests, which didn't belong to Pharaoh. Okay, so listen. Joseph was supernaturally gifted. He knew how to take care of these people. People say, he's ripping people off. He's cheating them into slavery. No, don't miss the heart. His heart is not to make sure Pharaoh becomes a god or something. His heart is, we got to find a way, do it honestly, do it right, to make sure people can eat. He doesn't want anyone to starve. We're out of money. Well, and we need food. Well, okay, I'm not going to let you starve. What do you got to trade? Well, we have some animals. You know, okay, bring a couple of sheep or a couple of goats. Just bring it. Okay, once they're out of animals, what do you do? Well, you know, we could sell you little pieces of our land. And Joseph goes, I'm not going to let you starve. Just whatever. We'll work out a deal. I'm going to make sure you and your family are going to make it. So that he's got the heart of God right there. He is just taking care of them. God had prepared Joseph and guided him every step of the way. He's not cheating the people. He's trying to care for them and take care of them. He prepared Joseph and he guided Joseph every step of the way. And I believe he's doing that in your life and mine as we speak. Trust him. Surrender to him by the power of God's Holy Spirit. Walk in him. See, everything got so severe, the people had no way to help themselves. And Joseph worked with everybody all the way through it. The intended consequences weren't what Joseph was looking for. He was looking to make sure everybody was all right. But you had a Pharaoh who was willing to listen. Now, when you get a new Pharaoh and he's going to have all that power, what do you think is going to happen? You get a bad guy in there, you're going to have bad stuff, right? And that's what's coming. Joseph can't know that. He's doing the best he can. What have you got to trade? I'll give you food if you have no more money. We got livestock, horses, sheep, goats, cattle, and donkeys and stuff. And he said, okay, just bring a little at a time and we'll do this. Continued on to where there was finally nothing. Now all the land belonged to Pharaoh. Pharaoh didn't go looking for it. It's just that the people need to eat. We're trying to find a way to barter, and that's what they got. But he says, I want to find a way that you can keep your land. So here's the deal. The land you can keep, it's yours, but it really belongs to Pharaoh. So when you plant and what you raise and grow, you give one-fifth to Pharaoh and you keep the rest for yourself. That's 20%.
True?
20%. And you keep it, so you're going to feed your family. You can use that to barter with other things. And so he's doing the very best he can. And I've heard people say, what a weasel Joseph is. He's stealing the people's property and their homes and everything. That's not his heart. His heart is clear in this, and you know Joseph better than that. He's doing everything within his power to keep the people from starving, to bless them, to take care of them, because that's what he was set up by Pharaoh to do. You oversee it. You take care of everyone. So let's end this chapter. Verse 27. And Israel, Jacob, he dwelt in the land of Egypt, in the country of Goshen. And they had possessions therein, and they grew, and they multiplied exceedingly. Do you remember how many came in the last time we got together? How many came in? 70 people, counting Joseph and his family. When they leave, a few hundred years from now, when they leave, there are going to be, some believe, 2.5 to 3 million people. That's a big crowd for Moses to walk across the desert with. And Jacob, verse 28, he lived in the land of Egypt 17 years. So the whole age of Jacob was 147 years. And he died, of course. The time drew near that Israel, Jacob, must die. And he called his son Joseph and said to him, if now I have found grace in your sight, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh and deal kindly and truly with me. Do not bury me, I pray thee, in Egypt. I'm begging you, don't bury me here. I'm going to die. I'm going to die soon. Swear to me. He said, I will lie with my fathers. I want to be buried. And you shall carry me out of Egypt and bury me in their burying place. And Joseph said, I will do as you have said. And he said, swear to me. And Joseph swore to him. And Israel bowed himself upon his bed. He's not dying yet. It's coming up next chapter. We'll stop here. But Jacob lived 17 years in the land of Goshen. 17 years to hang out with Joseph and all his boys, to meet his new grandchildren and get to know them and hang out with them. He lived to be 147 years old. His dad, Isaac, lived to be 180. His grandfather, Abraham, lived to be 175. So yeah, his life was kind of short compared to theirs. But he knew it was time. His time was done on this earth. His pilgrimage was about done. And he asked Joseph, please promise that you will bury me in the land of Canaan. That's the promised land. That's where Abraham and Isaac were promised, where I was promised. I have to be buried there. I can't be buried in Egypt. Promise me. And Joseph said, I'll do it. I promise. He wants to be in Canaan, the land God gave to his father Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as well. To bury me. I want you to bury me where my fathers are buried, his grandfather and his dad. Do you remember in Genesis 23, the cave of Machpelah? Abraham had to buy that so he could bury his wife, Sarah. And that's where Abraham is buried. And that's where Isaac is buried. And that's where he says, I have to be buried with them. That's where he's going to be. Abraham purchased that. Abraham was buried there, Isaac as well. He made Joseph swear, make a solemn promise, take an oath. And Joseph promised his father. And Israel bowed himself. The language on his bed doesn't mean that now he's going to lay down and die. When it says he bowed himself, that means he worshiped God. He just bowed down and probably prayed, knowing that he's going to die soon, knowing that that's faith. I got to be buried over there. That's the promise. That's what God has promised us. Everything I believe, everything that God has promised you and me, we will get it. We will have it. And we need to be walking in that. And it's all by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. But we can't ever forget what we're really about. It's hard, but we can't ever forget what we're all about. Because you get older, you get tired. You get older and everything hurts. Or you're too young. Remember the times when we were always too young and you couldn't do this because you're not old enough and you couldn't do that. And now you're way too old. Now you can't do the same things you couldn't do when you were young. You can't drive, old person. Get out of that car. You're going to kill somebody, right? I mean, you know what it is? It's a journey, isn't it? What do? I'll tell you what we do. Same thing Jacob did. We trust in God and we walk. We get off everybody else's back and we love them instead. And we trust and we encourage them if they start to stray or if they're confused. We encourage and we help them. That's what Jesus does with me every day. That's what he does with you. And we want to be just like Jesus. That's what we're growing into. So we love people. We love all people. And they don't have to love us back. Who cares? Jesus loves us. And isn't that good enough? You're saved by grace through faith. We're going to heaven. We don't ever have to worry about what we're going to eat, what we're going to wear. We don't have those concerns that the world has. So we should just praise God and be grateful. You're on a journey. I don't know how long it will be, but you are on a journey. We're all on a journey. And life has thrown things at you that if you told us, we'd go, whoa, that sounds harsh. And life has done things, and God allowed everything to be. So you know what? He's clearly got a plan. And we aren't probably going to realize it. I mean, we got some of the basics, but we're not going to realize it till we're standing there before him. And once we look at him, it's going to make sense every day that you live. It's going to make sense then. That's what he promised. Just trust. Trust and obey.
Thank you for listening to Apply Within with Pastor Bob Davis. Apply Within is a radio outreach ministry of North Country Chapel. Our Sunday morning Bible studies are at 9 and 11 a.m. We also have a Friday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. and a Monday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. You can download today's message in its entirety at northcountrychapel.com northcountrychapel.com/studies. That's northcountrychapel.com/studies. If you would like a copy of today's message, write to us and ask for the message with today's date. The address is Apply Within, 2281 West Celtice, Post Falls, Idaho, 83854. Or call us at 1-800-572-8851. That number again, 1-800-572-8851. Our mobile app is available for iPhone and Android. Download it to listen to full-length studies, watch the live stream of our services, or to find out more about church events. If you have been blessed by the teaching or have prayer requests that you would like to share with us, write, email, or call us as well. Please join with us every Monday through Friday as we study together verse by verse on Apply Within, sponsored by North Country Chapel.